Praise be to God. It's a real privilege for us to be with you, to be partaking from the Lord's table and to be joining you in worship the Lord, as well now to turn to the Word of God. I do not know how far I will be able to communicate in my broken English, because it's not my first language anyway, as you know. We praise God for the wonderful gift of the Word of God given to us. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God are two of the tools or the great special gifts, I believe, the Lord has given to us in our journey on this earth. The Word of God is our life and it's our bread, and I pray that the Lord may open His Word to us even as I share from the Word at this time. I would like to take your attention to the book of Joshua, but before that I would like to read a few verses from Psalm 20. Psalm 20, it's a prayer of David. My Bible gives a title for that, a prayer for victory. So here is a prayer of victory that is given to us. And as we go through this psalm, I want to read first of all verse 5. Psalms 20 verse 5. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petition. We will set up our banners in the name of our God. As we go through this psalm, we find actually the psalmist is in a battlefront. He is facing trials, troubles, spiritual battle, and the chances are for him for take a choice, either to trust in chariots, verse 7 we find, some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. With the wonderful gift that God has given to us is to choose the path we want to take. We can trust in the Lord, or we can also trust in our chariots, in our upbringings, in our family, in our education, in our wealth. There are so many ways we can take pride, and we can trust in our chariots, the strength, our might. But here is another choice that we can also take. Some trust in chariots and some in their own horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord. And in His name, we will raise our banners. I know that this is the time when banners are around in the US, when flags are around. I was here actually on the 4th of July, and I see flags everywhere, fireworks everywhere. People are raising their banners and flags as a mark of victory, mark of freedom that they have enjoyed years back. Now, so the banner or the flag is a mark of our pride, our identity, and that is what the Lord expects us to do in every battlefront that we are in every situation, in any temptation, in any struggles, in any of our fight, in our spiritual battle. God's plan for us is that we raise His banner in that situation. And with that in mind, I would like to take your attention to the book of Joshua and the first few chapters of Joshua. As we read the early chapters, Joshua is a very special book, as all of you know. And I know that I'm talking to well-versed people in the Word of God, and even evangelists who have been serving the Lord in different countries. Joshua is a very special person, as we see in this book. First chapter 1. Generally, as I read the first verse, now after the death of Moses, if I go back to my country, after my death, who should take over? It should be my son. That happens actually in political field, in religious field, everywhere we find actually the heritage goes to or the position goes to our son. So it's not Gershom after Moses, but here is the Lord using a man, Joshua, to lead the people into the victory ground. Joshua was a man who served as a servant of Moses, even when his own people rebelled against him. You know the stories. When his own sister, when his own people rebelled against Moses and God, here is a man who stood firmly serving the master, serving Moses. And we read about him that he was the one who was pouring water on for Moses, meaning that he was serving as a slave of Moses. Many times we do service for the Lord, but we may do it for Moses, or maybe we could do it for the Lord. If our services are not Jesus based, if our service is man focused, then has no value at all, we know. But if we are able to serve the Lord, if we are able to do the service as unto the Lord would value it in the course of time. So it is not Gershom that who took over. It is not any of the family members that took over. But Joshua, as a man who served the Lord for 40 long years and who was willing to take God's word as final, he was willing to take God for granted. He was willing to cross over to the land of Canaan many years, 40 years back, along with Joshua and Caleb. They were willing to. They were ready to go and to the promised land. But it took 40 years patient time for him to wait for a time when he can lead the people of Israel into the promised land. And there we find that the people setting up a banner, not the stars and the stripes, but made of 12 stones in the land of Gilgal, in the place of called Gilgal. And before they were able to set up that banner or that monument or that testimony, I want to take you through to three special occasions that how that was made possible. The first thing that we find is chapter 3 verse 13. Joshua chapter 3 verse 13. we read, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord rest in the waters. A very special step of faith in the lives of Israel. They have a 40 years long history of backsliding. They have a 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. But here they have to take a very special step, one step into the waters, as the priests lead the people. They had to take the first step of faith. That was not an easy step. Without, you know, the Jordan River is flooded. They have to take an absolute step of faith as they put their step into the waters, without seeing what is going to happen. But the Lord has promised Joshua that He will take you through. I will be with you. The same promise that He has given to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob and Moses is repeated to Joshua. So he is very sure of what God is going to do in the lives of Israel. Because he believed that God can do what He has promised. The word of God is in our hands. Do we take our time to read it, meditate it, and make it our own? And do we trust it? Do we believe actually this is the promises that are in the word of God as is for me? All the spiritual blessings are given to us. In Ephesians we read that. All the spiritual blessings are given to us, but we need to possess it. We need to appropriate it. We need to take it as our own. And that is where we often fail, to spend some time with the word of God and to make it our own and to claim it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We read it, but how often we fail to realize, to appropriate and to claim it as our right to be a sheep under the shepherd of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we go through chapter 3, we find actually the steps had to be very disciplined steps are taken. Chapter 3 verse 1 we read that it was that Joshua got up early morning. You find actually from chapter 3 verses 1 to 5 some very disciplined steps of the people of Israel. Joshua got up early morning. And verse 2 we read that they had to wait 3 days before they put their first step. 3 days of waiting. You see, every time you find discipline there, they had to get up in the morning. They had to wait for 3 days. In verse 3 we find they had to look at the ark and follow the ark. They had to keep a certain distance. You find everywhere the disciplines that is set for them. And verse chapter 3 verse 5 we find they had to sanctify themselves. They had to get prepared and get themselves separated for the task that they are going to achieve in the future. They had to sanctify, they had to make themselves separated or make themselves prepared to achieve. And verse 5 we read, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. I like to have wonders happening to me today, because it is much easier for me to see and believe. But to put a step of faith to happen tomorrow is something difficult. But that is what God expects from us. As we put our step of faith, it is going to happen tomorrow. Tomorrow's we can claim for today. we can claim tomorrow for today, and that is God's way of doing. As we read even in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. Tomorrow we claim today the promises that awaits us for us tomorrow. Tomorrow the Lord is going to do wonders in our lives. Dear brothers and sisters, we may be waiting, we may be struggling, we may be going through difficulties, we may be looking for opportunities. So many things are happening in our lives. Each one has various challenges with that we all go through. But these steps will help us to achieve the victory as we put our first step of faith in trusting in the Lord. In the name of the Lord, we want to raise our banners and our flags. And when we come to chapter 4 verse 9, we find something very strange there. As the people, as the story, therefore I don't want to expand it too much. The people all had to pass through Jordan, and the priests, they with the ark, they had to stay at the middle of Jordan, and they had to do something. They had to carry 12 stones and place it in the river. And we know that after the after the water comes back, it will disappear. It looks strange to me, perhaps why this is done. But I believe there is a great truth that God is teaching us from the New Testament. We know that we are dead with Christ on the when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross. We believe that we also died with Him. And we need to be, we are buried with Him in baptism. We are dead with Christ. That's what we read in Colossians chapter 3 verse 3. We are dead with Christ and we are buried with Him in baptism. And we read from Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. That wonderful verse that Apostle Paul spoke from his testimony. It is no longer I, but Christ liveth me. I am dead with Christ. Maybe we will read that verse, Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, to see how the Lord is wants us to apply this incident in our life. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, the famous words of Apostle Paul, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. A life where you are dead with Christ and you are buried with Christ. If you remember what we read from Ezekiel chapter 47, there is a very interesting prophecy that we read from Ezekiel chapter 47. Ezekiel chapter 47 may have future prophetical application for the future. But I find actually a very interesting comparison that we can take from there. We find the waters flowing from the sanctuary. And as the angel takes from the prophet for 1,000 feet, so for example, we find that he is covered angle depth water. And as he continues the journey, another 1,000 feet, we find that he is in knee-deep water. And as he continues the journey, we find the water going up to the loins. And another 1,000 feet, we find is no more able to walk, and he is completely immersed in the water and only his head is seen. I find a very interesting application that we can see from here. As we continue our spiritual journey, as we continue our journey with the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what is expected of us. A time when you are not visible, when only the head is visible, and that is the ultimate success or a victory for a believer. When our head, the Lord Jesus Christ, is seen, when you are not visible, that is the time of our victory that we can claim in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is not just theory for us. You remember the life of John the Baptist. He had all the chances to claim that he is the Messiah. There was a chance that he could claim to be the Messiah and fool the people. But he says, I am just a voice. I am not Christ. I am not the Messiah. I am not able to even to unloose his shoe latchet. I am not even able to be his slave. And he was able to portray the Lord Jesus Christ as the ultimate. It's not I, but Christ. And this is what actually I learned from Joshua's story of hiding or placing the 12 stones from the bank to the Jordan River. But that was not the end. Gilgal is the ultimate. Gilgal, we find chapter 4 verse 8 that they had to take 12 stones from the River Jordan and place it on the bank. Gilgal is the promised land, and that is what they have been waiting for all these 40 years. All these 40 years, God's plan for them that they should reach Gilgal, but it took long time in their lives, long time of wandering, long time of backsliding, long times of murmuring. But ultimately, God fulfills His plans and His will. You see, this is what he does in the lives of people and lives of each one of us. Many times we know Apostle Peter, he has denied the Lord. He has gone back to fishing. We find so many things, but ultimately we find the Lord restoring Apostle Peter. The Lord wants to restore each one of us in fulfilling His plans in our lives. I must have gone backsliding. I must have gone away from God's plans. But He brings me back to His plans. God has a plan for each one of us. And He will fulfill what He has already promised. That is what we read. He who has started a good work, He will also fulfill it. And that is our great encouragement. The Lord will fulfill what He has already started in our lives. So Gilgal, we find they had to carry 12 stones from the River Jordan and place it on the bank. And that should be a testimony for the generations to come, as a witness that God has done a victory in their lives. Dear brothers and sisters, there must be many areas in our lives where we have failed the Lord Jesus Christ, where we have gone back from God's plan in our lives. I do not know the lives of each one of you. I do not know any of you, except maybe I know one family here personally. I have gone back many times, but the Lord restores us into His plan in His time. And as we submit our lives to Him, and He brings Gilgals in our lives, He brings victory in our lives. And that is when we can say, along with Psalmist, I will set up my banners in the name of the Lord. chapter 5 verse 9, we read the meaning of Gilgal. Reproach is removed. Reproach is rolled away. You see, verse 5 verse 9 we read, I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. I'm sure actually all these years, 40 years, Egypt must have been laughing at Israel. You have taken freedom from us. But what have you achieved? All what you achieved is just wanderings in the wilderness. A reproach, you know, shame. But we find a reproach is now a history. It is victory. We are now standing in victory ground. And that is what Gilgal meant for them. 40 years of wandering. When we come to Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, Apostle Paul gives a very practical lesson for us. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Apostle Paul gives us a very practical lesson for us. There must be many things that makes us guilty. Think of Apostle Paul's life actually. He was a persecutor. He was persecuting the church of God. But here he says, and also he had many things to be proud of also. He was a man of great respect in his community. But here he says, 13 and 14, that I want to do one thing. I want to forget the things that are forgetting the things which are behind me. This is a practical lesson for us. We need to forget many of the things. Maybe achievements in our lives. Maybe pitfalls in our lives. Many failures in our lives. But Paul says, I want to forget all those things. And I want to, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. Reaching forth, that shows an earnest initiative from our lives. Reaching forth, with intentions, with our own decisions, going forth and reaching forth unto the things are before me. I press toward the mark. That shows actually a serious initiative on his part. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. God has, this is I believe Gilgal is something similar to this. Failures on our part, 40 years wanderings, maybe looking into our own lives. Maybe we can relate to many of our past history. Failures, but God is not going to account for the past actually. He wants us to forget it and to press toward the mark that is for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He has a high calling for us. He wants actually not life, but he wants us to have life abundant. He wants us to enjoy Christian life abundantly, and Lord also to pass it on to the people around us. God has plans for us. For Paul, even today we are reading what he wrote. Many things, our lives are only short life we have in this earth. But what we can pass it on for the future, there can be lasting values. And that is what God expects from each one of us. Let us be people, what God, He has a call for each one of us. Before I conclude, God has plans for each one of us. He has a call for each one of us. The call that you have is different than what I have. We all have been given with gifts and talents that we need to trade with. And we need to be sure of the calling that God has given us. Each one has a calling. Any believer has a calling from the Lord. And it is the success, the victory comes when we can identify the call and the gift that is given to us. And what is God's call for you? You can understand. You know it better. And I the Lord wants you to identify the God's calling in your life. And we also, for a moment, as I conclude, look into our own lives and see if it's a life of wandering, if it's a life of backsliding, or if it's a life of victory. The victory that great men of God may achieve need not be ours. The life of Billy Graham need not be my call for me. But I have my limited areas that God has given me, and I know what God's calling is in my life, and I would request you to identify the call that God has for you. Are we afraid of Jordan? Is another question. Jordans are around us, in front of us. Jordan is flooding. Problems flooding around us. In India, we know that Jordans are getting flooded in India. Because in very short time, we feel actually persecution. Persecution has become a regular story in India. And it can increase, but the Lord is in control. Step out and set up our banners for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to close it with one verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. Very familiar verse for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. But thanks be to God, which gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can have victory in our own strength, as we read from Psalm 20, through our chariots and our horses. But here what we read, but thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I praise God for Lord Jesus Christ. He is our victorious Savior, ever living, who rose from the dead and living for us. And he is going to come for us to receive us unto himself. And he is the ever living Savior for us. And in his name, we will raise our banners. Let that be our resolution even this morning. In his name, we will set up our banners and let his name be glorified and honored through our lives and through the ministries or the missions that God has placed each one of us as individuals and as families. Once again, thank you for giving me this opportunity, and I continue to request your prayers for our future, in our travels. Another 1 week, we will be leaving the U.S. We request your continued prayers as we go back to India. Thank you, and God bless.
Let's pray.